You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The question is the opinion of the Baal Halachos Gedolos. Everyone knows who he is, the Baal Halachos Gedolos. This is a man who lived over 1,000 years ago. And he came up with a Wapa Chiddush, which he said that although the Gemara tells us explicitly that Noshim are obligated in the Megillah, despite the fact that it's a what? So the simple shot is that if a woman is obligated, she's obligated the same as a man is obligated. And we have a general rule. We are egalitarian fundamentally. If the obligation is on the same level, a woman can do it for a man. For example, Kiddush. Zocha b'shama v'dibarecha. And then we know it's not grama. Women are obligated to Kiddush, but they aren't obligated in the lab of Shabbos. And a woman is allowed to make Kiddush for a man. Clear in the Gemara, clear in the Pesukim, everyone agrees. So therefore, it would stand to reason that a woman can read the Megillah for a man too. Come to Baal Halachos Gedolos and says no.
That's
the privacy of a home. There's no issues of tzniyus. There's a husband and a wife, and they're on a desert island, and they have a Megillah. So she wants to read the Megillah for him. According to Baal Halachos, no good. No good. The reason given that the woman is chayav in Shmiya, and the man is chayav in Kriya. Repeat. The woman has to hear the Megillah. The man has to read the Megillah. A bunch of words. You don't fully understand where this is coming from. What does it mean? Why should the difference be any difference? If women are chayav, it's afrein hoyim goso an ace, we should have the same obligation as men. That's the question. I'm going to tell you first the three classical explanations and give you my own. Okay? So yeah, you see, my bias is bouncing up front. The first that I know, I'm sure there are many others. The first, the famous one, is the Turei Eben, by the author of Shagas Ari. It goes back now to the 18th century. He says like this, you know, the obligation to read the Megillah is based on the pasuk in the Megillah. The Hayomim Ha'elem Nizkorim V'Nasim. Nizkorim is reading, and Nasim is the acts of the day. Shalach Moras Matamnos of Yom. This is what's called a source which is in the Tanakh. It's in the Tanakh itself. It's Sefer Esther. Megillah Esther. Turei Eben writes that the obligation for a woman to read the Megillah is purely rabbinic. It's a rabbinic obligation. Afen Hoyabon says it's rabbinic. Rabbinic is a lower level that has no source in Tanakh than what we call Divrei Kabbalah, as it's called in the Masechta Tainis. Means anything coming from the words of the Tanakh itself. As such, the woman is on a lower level obligation than the man. The woman's obligation with the Rabbanan, and the man's is on a higher level. It's not exactly a Daraisa, but akin to a Daraisa. For example, the Gemara is Masechta Brachos. A woman should not bench for a man. Why shouldn't she bench for a man? Because the possibility is, her obligation is different, because you're not obligated in bris, not obligated in Torah. And the whole discussion. So here too, it's a lower level obligation. Everyone understand what I just said? This is not a lecture. This is a shiur. You can interrupt me in the middle. I'm used to it every day. Welcome interrupt me all the time. So I feel young here. Feel free to raise your hand and ask a question at any point. Okay? Yes?
The Bahad Lashitaso holds that it reckons Nibra Megillah as one of the Tanakh mitzvahs.
Very good. You see? Anybody said manish below Kiddush. That's correct. The Rambam doesn't like that. But very good. Excellent. Okay. Very good. You're right. Shtips. Good. That is the Turei Eben interpretation. There are two other interpretations which are a little bit more recent, and they're found in the more later Jewish. One of them goes as follows. The Marcheshes. He says, you know, Megillah is more than the Megillah. I repeat again, the Megillah is more than the Megillah. The Megillah has within it an additional dimension. The dimension of the Megillah, which has an addition to the Megillah proper, is found in the base of the Gemara Masechta Megillah, and that Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara tells us, why is there no Halal on Purim? Three answers are given. For our purpose, Kriyasa Zu Hilula, that the reading of the Megillah is a substitute for Halal. The Meir goes as far as to say, if you have no Megillah, you say Halal. We don't quite pass it that way, but it's Halal. Says the Marcheshes, the woman is potter from this Halal. She's chayav in the Megillah, and potter from Halal. So if the woman will read the Megillah for a man, what's going to happen? The Megillah, he will be able to fulfill it, because she's obligated the same as him. That's a vacation. But the extra dimension of Hallel, she will not be able to fulfill, because she, the woman, is not obligated in the midst of Hallel. It's a Mangarama. Understood?
Yeah.
Answer number two. Along the same lines as the Macheshes, comes the Arsameach, very similar. Arsameach says is another dimension included in Mikra Megillah. That's the additional mitzvah of? Correct. Who said it? Got it right. Zechiras Amalek. It's coming at the Parsha Zohar this week. According to many authorities, women are exempt from Zechiras Amalek. And we know that from the Sefer Achinuch. Women are exempt because they're not noseful chalma, etc., etc. So therefore, according to this once again, the woman reads the Megillah for a man, then what will happen? He'll fulfill the mitzvah of the Megillah, but not the additional mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is contained within the Megillah. These are the three classical answers which I'll give you. Understood?
Is that only instead of if you hadn't heard it from Zohar?
Well, even so, the additional read of Megillah to give an additional dimension of Zohar, even if you had heard Zohar on the Shabbos before. Okay, fine. Now I'll tell you a story. A Riverdale story? In certain parts of our community, there are some feminist tendencies. Going back to the early 80s, they started something called a women's tefillah. And a few rabbanim, myself included, were opposed to it. This goes back now to a story of 35 years ago. Okay, we just wrote a little brief letter that we didn't think was right. Rabbi Shechter Shlit, they wrote a whole long essay. It's called Tzilach B'Ikvei Atzon. That's the title track of his second sefer, B'Ikvei Atzon. A little bit later, we heard that they're having what's called a Kriyas Megillah, a women's tefillah. Okay, so. Then one day I heard they upped the ante. We're going to have Kriyas HaMegillah, the women are going to read for men. And I was quite surprised. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, let's quote it, it's not a unanimous opinion, I agree with that. But still, we have no custom to the contrary. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Omrim Shendoshim Enel Matzias Esanoshim. I was a little surprised that a shul would go against a din which is found in the Shulchan Aruch. So, I wasn't fully informed. I gave a limud schus. I tried to explain why we can make a case for what's going on in that shul. And my limud schus is based on a comment in the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh. Mikroi Kodesh is about 2 pesos of Frank. And at the bottom of the footnotes of his grandson, Rav Kol Yosef Kohn from Yerushalayim, is a very fascinating suggestion. And of all these three reasons, are the only reasons for the Bahalach of the Dolos, he made a suggestion that he was in the pre-feminist era. It is only true when the Megillah is being read by day. Because by day, we light is only the Rabban. Hallel, as we know, is only by day. Zechiras Samalek, presumably, is also only by day. So he makes an interesting suggestion, not Levisa, of course, that if that's these are the reasons, at night, a woman can read the Megillah for a man. So I said, you know, what must have happened was they must have read the Mikroi Kodesh, and they saw the Shmuel Torah, and they figured we have a basis for it, broad shoulders. I was wrong, they did it by day, but okay, I'm just being my pupil. I was trying to. But halacha lemaisa, after hearing what I have to say, I'm going to disagree with that as well. I'm going to disagree with all these three giants. Giants are way a million times bigger than me, but every time it's also Mikhadish, it has a right to say a Kiddush. Even centuries later. Okay. My question number one is, none of the three explain why one is Shmi and one is Kriya. But you say it's a different level. Number one. Doesn't say it. So I'm going to give an answer based on another great Godel, the Avnei Nezer. Sofer Shel Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer. He writes as follows. He thinks, and I'm going to except only half of what he says, but we'll see in a minute. He thinks that the fundamental obligation of the Megillah is really Shmiah. And he explains why beautifully. And I'll give you an example. Tonight is Wednesday night, correct? Zayin Adar. A week from now, Wednesday night, is Yud Adar Purim. We'll get one of the young men to stand outside the shul as people are filing out after the appearance of the Megillah. And ask them, on candid camera, did you fulfill the mitzvah of the Megillah? And of course, we'll all say, yes. Did you read the Megillah? I didn't read the Megillah. I read the Balkan read the Megillah. But I'm told this is a group, by Sam, there's a group of learners. Everyone learns over here. What's the correct answer to that question? Did you read the Megillah? See, present company included knows about the concept known as what? Shomea Ka'one. Because everyone read the Megillah in effect through Shomea Ka'one. But this, although people in this room know about it, because you're all Talmidei Chachamim, you finished Mishnayos, Shas, etc., etc., Dafyoni, the average individual in the outside world is not such a Talmud Chacham, doesn't really know Shas, doesn't know about Shomea Kohen. But they don't know what it means. So they think they fulfilled the mitzvah by simply hearing the Megillah. That's what people, if you do the experiment, these two young men, you'll see it's going to work. I heard the Megillah, not going to say I read the Megillah.
But do you have to know?
I didn't say I have to know anything. Slowly. Says the Avnei Neis. We all know Avnei Hoyo but also a Neis, right? Has another term with the same shorish Neis in it, which means to publicize it. What's that called? Pirsume Nisa. The word Pirsume means in the Fursam means famous. Famous means everybody knows about it. Abdelazer quotes a very fascinating comment from the Kesef Mishnah in Ilchos Shavuos, where it says that what's not known to everybody cannot be called famous. And therefore, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah cannot be Kriya, because then there's no Pirsume Nisa involved. Not everybody knows that all the hundreds of people who are going to be here next Wednesday night will have read the Megillah. Most people think they only heard the Megillah. So the only thing that's famous a week from tonight is that everybody came to the shul and heard the Megillah. That's famous. But that's only hearing. Reading is not famous. That's what he says. Then he goes further and says, we now understand the word Shmir. Women are chayev in Shmir. He learns Shmir is the core mitzvah of Megillah. I'm going to depart from that in a moment. Because of this person, but he's asking, what's Kriya? Oh! Kriya's Amalek. We can say Kriya's Halal. Likuras Halal. That's what he says. At least he made two breakthroughs. One, he made a big chiddush about Pesumanisha only being Shmiya. And number two, he said, I understand it very well. Why is it Shmiya and Kriya? Shmiya is the Megillah, Kriya is something else. And he goes back to the Amalek, or who himself to the Halal dimension. There's still a very big question. If that's the case, everybody, including the Balkar, is going to make a Chazonish Nikah Brocha next Wednesday night. Asher Ki Nishan Rebis Osam and Sivan, what should he say? What should he say? The Shema Megillah. The Ramon says that a woman makes a Brocha of the Shema Megillah, based on the Mordechai, based on the Bahar. But your Balkar, who I assume will be a man, be mostly men, will say, I'll mikra Megillah. Why? According to the Avnei Neis, that's just a detail, a side point. Mikra has to do with Amalek, with Ha. No! The main mitzvah, according to the Avnei Neis, is a Shmiras on Megillah, because it's a Pesumei Nisa. So I'm not happy with that detail. Therefore, I come out to my chiddush. With this background, everyone see where we are so far? Here's my chiddush. My chiddush is like this. We know that it says, that is the obligation upon them. It does say they're obligated in the Megillah. But I'm here to suggest as follows. There are two dinim, that's how I was trained, there are two dinim in the Megillah. There is the Megillah itself, and there is Pesumei Nisa, and they're not identical. The core mitzvah of Megillah is, as the bracha indicates, Al Mikra Megillah, Kriyas HaMegillah, and it stands to reason. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'en D'oraisa Tikkun. Every other parsha in the Torah is a mitzvah of Kriya. Well, then they call that it would be Kriya Shema, or closer to home, mitzvah of zechira samalik, to be korei. No, it's only shofar shemir. That's not those are words. Mikra. So when the rabbanim came and they instituted Megillah, they made it a mitzvah of kriya. But women are only chayav in pirsum hanes, which is, as the Abnezer said correctly, shmiya. Shmiya. A woman is only chayav in shmiya, which is the pirsume nisa aspect of the Megillah. She is not chayav in the core mitzvah, the basic mitzvah of kriya, because kriya is a zman grama. And when Chazal says, notwithstanding zman grama, a woman is chayav, they didn't mean she's chayav the same as a man is chayav. They meant she's chayav in the persume nisa aspect, which is exactly the words of av pein hayu, but also hanes. If that's the case, we understand very well why it is that a woman cannot read for a man, because a woman is chayav only in shmiya, the persume nisa aspect. She's not chayav in kriya, which is the core mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Does everyone understand what I just said? If I'm right, even at night, a woman cannot read for a man, because even at night she's only chayav in Shmiya, and he's obligated in Kriya. Fine. Now I'm going to attempt to prove to you that I'm right. I mean, I'm going up against Gedolei Olam Mamash, the greatest of the greatest of the greats. Who knows in this room? There are two other places, two, not one but two, other places in Shas where the Gemara invokes the principle of Ach Hein Hayav Osam Hanes and uses the term Pesuminis. Who knows?
Hanukkah.
Ne Hanukkah, what else? Dal and Kosis, correct. Both correct. In those two places, in Dal and Kosos and in Mikra Megillah, there too we find the concept of Excuse me, what I'm saying, Neros Chanukah and Mikra Megillah? Let me say it better.
You got the different combination.
Okay.
Dalet Kosos and Neros Chanukah.
Dalet Kosos.
Sorry.
No, let's get it right. There are three places. There's Megillah that we're talking about. Then there's also Arba Kosos and also Neros Chanukah. Okay? There's the Rav Yom. Rav Yom, one of the great early Rishonim, writes the following comment. He quotes the Baal HaLachos Gedolos. We just read, that's what we started all year today. He said, I looked in the Baal HaLachos Gedolos, I couldn't find what would he say about, listen carefully, what would he say about Arba Kosos, what would he say about Ner Chanukah? Now, if the three original classical interpretations are correct, this is a non sequitur. If the whole point of the Baal HaLachos Gedolos is that women are drabonon and men are different kabbalah and tanakh, what does that have to do with avakosis and Ner Chanukah? If the pshat is halal or amalek, what does that have to do with Ner Chanukah or with avakosis? Makes no sense whatsoever. Therefore, I humbly suggest that these words of the Rav Yoh are proof positive that I'm right. But apparently, there's at least the quote around. Apparently there's at least a svara, a possibility to suggest that the same chiddush I just told you now, that the women are exempt from the core mitzvah and only are obligated to pursue any aspect of the mitzvah, could conceivably be true, not only with respect to Megillah, which is our topic for tonight, but also with respect to Arba Kosos and Ner Chanukah. But of course, that requires explanation. Here, we explain it so beautifully based on the Avnei Nezer. Presumanis is what's famous. The core mitzvah is not so famous. You don't understand. Everyone read the Megillah and Shul. That's not so famous at all. So therefore, we have there's no alternative but to assume that there are two different levels. Two different levels. I'm reading the words of the Rav Yom. Hod Arminon Isha Vaday Madlekes. That's the Lashon of the Gemara in the Sefer Shabbos. Omer Bishum Alevi. Noshin Chayavos B'ner Chanukah. Badakti V'alochos Gedolos. I checked it out. He wasn't lazy. He didn't have a Bari line. He went through the whole V'alochos Gedolos. V'lo Pirish Bamidi. Nothing. V'lo Yedanebe. I don't know. Ibechad Amachta Ikal Efusha Ilov. Would it be possible to explain when it comes to the idea of Nechalika the same as by Megillah? Don't know. V'chenosh v'chavos abakosis. I don't know. Now, we have to be, now the burden of proof is now on us. How are we going to construct a similar construct? There should be, when we have Shmiya and Kriya, makes perfect sense to us. Because it's not famous, Rabbi Osayim, that everybody will have read the Megillah a week from tonight. It's only famous that they heard the Megillah, as Amnesia said. Well, what's the equivalent by Ner Chanukah? So I'll give it to you, a chance to suggest something on your own. What's the equivalent of Ner Chanukah? For example, I said the two boys are going to come outside the shul next week. Yes, did you fulfill the Megillah? Yes. Did you read the Megillah? People are going to say, no. But the real answer is, yes, Rabbi Kona. Okay, now they finished lighting their Hanukkah, they're coming out of the house. The same two boys ask the question. Tell me, you fulfilled the mitzvah of their Hanukkah? Yes. You lit their Hanukkah, the last Rabbitson? What's the true answer?
Yes.
No, she didn't like her. She didn't do it. Her husband lit their Hanukkah. Wait a second. What gives over here? Very good. These people are loved them in the shul, Rabbi. You have to be on your toes. They know so many things. They're catching me left and right. The chedushim with the Baha'i Lashi Tosa. All kinds of good things going on here. Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ishu Beiso. Ner Ishu Beiso means the obligation of Hadlaka is not on any person individually, it's on the household. So when it's homeless, there's simply no obligation to pshut though, because they're rushing except the Shabbos. So therefore, listen carefully, please. I want to suggest that the core mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which parallels Kriya and Megillah, is Hadlakas Haner, Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah. What is the equivalent of Shmiya by Megillah? What is the equivalent when it comes to Ner Chanukah? What did you say?
I said Yeah.
Great! Sit down already. Exactly. Haroma Ner Chanukah says, She'osa Nisim La'Avoseinu. You know what? The Re'iyah is famous. Everyone knows, lady, did you fulfill the mitzvah? Sure. Did you light the Ner? No, so what did you do? What do you mean what? I watched my husband light Ner Chanukah. The Re'iyah. The same as she'll tell you. Well, he'll tell you, I heard the Balkari, read the Megillah. I saw the Balabas, like Ner Chanukah. So the Re'iyah is the substantive equivalent of Shmiya. And here, if my Kiddush was right the first time, women are only obligated in Shmiya, as the Bahag said, and the Ramah says you make a bracha, L'shma Megillah. So too, my Kiddush is, believe it or not, women are only chayav in Re'iyah Saner, and not in Hadlaka Saner. By the way, if a woman is by herself in her home and there's nobody else there, she has no alternative but to light the Ner. Because if she won't light the Ner, then what?
She will see it.
Let me see. Stop.
What bracha would she make?
Oh, very good. What bracha would she make? Here we go. The Mishnah Berurah says something which at first glance is really mind-boggling. Now, I know we're discussing Chanukah and it's a little past us, but I'm going to give you the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Chanukah. I read it to you. Mishnah Berurah says that a woman is not required to light Ner Chanukah, even though it's a famous din of Mahadrin, Ner L'Cholech L'Viecha, the Havan Rak Tfelos L'Hanoshim. The second there doesn't sound really correct. I'm reading verbatim. V'imrotzos L'Hadlik M'Rochos, they can make a bracha. Tavi kishar mitzvahs asay shazman deraba dicholos avarich. So writes the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Chanukah. Now wait a minute. Zman deraba? Then we just learned it's broke the rules of zman deraba. Afin hayu b'osa waneis. What's he talking about? Any Eidot HaMizrach in this room? For Eidot HaMizrach? No. Eidot HaMizrach. Women are not permitted to make a bracha on zman deraba. They follow the Rambam and the Mechaber. To me, according to them, they can't make a bracha on Ner Chanukah. What's going on over here? It's a pedal. The Mishnah Berurah says it, and people just go on and then pay no mind. How can it be? I'll give the answer as follows. The answer is that the mitzvah of Mahadrin is to be on top of the core mitzvah of hadlaka, there's an additional mitzvah of nahagin, the cholech aviyach. But a woman's not obligated in hadlaka in the first place. She's only obligated in re'iyah, and therefore the mitzvah of mahagin does not apply to her. Does not apply to her. Period. That's my pshat in this din of the Mishnah Berurah. Of course.
What if the husband's not home?
The woman's not home? The wife fights and not the husband.
And how's he answer?
Very good. Excellent question. He asked the $64,000 question. Whatever he asked. I just contradicted myself at the beginning of the shiur and then to the middle of the shiur. The whole point of the Baal Halachos Gedolah is because her level of obligation is lower, she cannot read them together for him. Now I'm making a parallel to Chanukah, but the Gemara says explicitly, I quote you the words, Hidlika Chere Shodan Nekad Lo Asav Lo Klum. Isha Vadei Madlika. Domer Shem Alevi, Noshim Chayobas Menei Chanukah. Afin Abos Samanes. Your kasha is, I just contradicted myself.
Because the kasha has candles.
No, he asked a good kasha. No one's answered his kasha yet. His kasha is good. You go back a long way. He always asks good kashas. Always asks good kashas. Even in the old shtiebel, he always asks good kashas.
But that's what should represent the household.
Oh, the answer is as follows. Based on what I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, commented on a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch with respect to a kotel. We just read, kotel is no good. Two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, Chanukah. What about a kotel shehigia lechinuch? 11 years old. If he likes it, it's a good enough. Two opinions. If it comes to Megillah, no. Cotton is no good until Bar Mitzvah. Even after Bar Mitzvah, by the way, there's a problem if he's allowed to read the Megillah at 13. And by day, because it's no chazak, since we don't read Pasha Zohar, I wouldn't let him in my shul read the Megillah by day. Not yes, because I'm Rabbanan, not by day. By Pasha Zohar. Fine. Listen carefully, please. So my Rebbe answered as follows. In order for me to help you fulfill a mitzvah, if it's a personal mitzvah, I must be on the same level of obligation as you. Kiddush, woman and man, same level. Benching, not so simple. Brit Torah. Yeah. Nachas Oretz, not so simple. Hadechai, v'derais or not. That's true with respect to personal obligations, such as Mikra Megillah, as we said before. She is Chaim in Shmiya, he is Chaim in Kriya, she cannot read the Megillah for him. Listen please carefully. When it comes to Ner Chanukah, neither of them has a personal obligation. Because if they were homeless, they wouldn't be obligated. It's Ner Ish Ubeso. The obligation on the bias, of course, someone has to do it on the bias. The house and the bricks don't do it themselves. Therefore, what the Gemara is telling us like this, in contradistinction to Cher and Shota the Kotten, this is nothing, as my Rebbe put it in his brisker language, there's no chal shem ner chanuk on it. But when the woman does it, there is a shem ner chanuk, isha vadei madaka, amen rebasunes. What is the shem ner chanuk on it? He is yotze, because he's a member of the household. What a man is yotze, he's a member of the household. Everyone else is yotze, what a man, like it or not, you're both yotze.
But you don't have to see it, do you? You should see
the neres. You should.
But you're yotze even if you don't see it.
You're yotze the mitzvah's neres of Benz if you don't see it. Not the mitzvah of Re'iyah. There's an additional mitzvah of Re'iyah. If you're out of town, your wife writes for you, should try to find a Jewish home somewhere to see the neres.
So you may show some
interest. Let me go further. One second. Well, a little further. In my opinion, if you're a member of the household, you're yotze the mitzvah whether you like it or not. It's called in Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. In certain situations, if someone lit the Neir Chanukah for me, Hanal Alei Le'erav. For example, it sounds that way from the Mishnah Berurah, by Ishu Beisa, a husband and a wife. What's the Mishnah Gemara? Neir Ishu Beisa, a Mahadrin, Neir Lecholecha Biyecha. That's the Mahadrin. Mahadrin starts after Ishu Beisa. Ishu Beisa, there is no Mahadrin. Only one for both of them. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests, if your wife lit for you at home, and you're somewhere else, or you come home late, if you like, it's a problem, a potential problem of bracha levatol. So the woman first asks, what do you mean? Have kavanah shelo lotzeis. Right? We just had read halal last week. The chazan said a bracha on halal, and I answered amen, and I said my own bracha. How can that be? Have kavanah shelo lotzeis, either explicitly or implicitly. The answer won't work. You know why? because it's their issue based on. If you want to leave the house permanently, then you're not yotze. But as long as you remember the household, you're yotze whether you like it or not. Like it's a mezuzah to do. I don't want to be yotze. It doesn't work. I think I answered your question. It's a very good question. I thought my answer was a good answer too. And now, my last point, because my time is up. I was looking at my clock carefully. Leave time for a little divrei agoda. Abacosis. Where do you have two divrei abacosis? What's the equivalent? Those who learn Arben Pesachim in a bit of a more lavdish way all know the world famous piece of the Brisker Rav in the Masechta Pesachim and Arba Kosis. The Gemara Kuf Ches Amud Beis according to Girsas Arif Rambam says that there were two opposite cases. One is Shesom Bevasachas. He guzzled down four cups. Yidei Cheres Yotza, Yidei Arba Kosis Lo Yotza. Then it says Shesom Chai, you have poor wine, but you do it on the Seder, which means Kiddush, Haggadah, benching, Hallel. The other way around. Yidei Abakos is Yotza, Yidei Cherus, Lo Yotza. Explains the Brisker Rav, there are two din. That's the classical Brisker Rav. There's one din of the Abakos themselves, and there's one din of Cherus. What is Cherus? Pistum and Nisa. If I am correct with my model, the Seder, the Rav Yom was looking for this. He said he checked the Bahar to look for Abakos. So I'm suggesting my model. Women are chayav only in the cheres aspect and not in the sidur bracha lakos aspect. So if a woman who takes, I don't know if it's justice, she takes down four cups in a row, the man is not yotze the abakos, but the woman is yotze cheres. Much more to be said, but Rabbi gave me 35 minutes of halacha, which is from the time that Sam introduced me, is up. I didn't take away his 2 minutes of introduction, you did me a big favor, and a 2 minute introduction, those are the ones I liked. Thank you. Please, when I come again, I want him to introduce me again. This is the best comment. Okay, he will. Good. Okay, good. I'm happy to come. Let's not talk, therefore, a little bit more about the general idea of what Purim stands for. And I want to go back, and I've got a little controversial. I think what I said before is very controversial. It's against the Turi Evin. It's against the Marcheshes. It's against the Osameach. It's even in part against the Amnezer. But no one's going to hang me up for what I said controversially against those Gedolei Torah. They're still in Ogadei, they're happy with what I said, they think I'm crazy. But you know, that's the Kedaka Shel Torah. Let me end with the following fascinating concept of the Nitziv. Nitziv, my Rebbe's ancestor. We are told that Godo, the Olam Yasak Odom, B'Torah of Mitzvah Safila Shalom Lishma, Shemitol Shalom Lishma, Bol Lishma. Famous Gemara in Masechta Pesachim. The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that someone who's Oseh Shalom Lishma is Noach Lo Shalom Nivra. Tosfos says, what can there be a big contradiction in this? The Tosfos says, well, Lo Lishma in Brachos means Lekante. He's trying to uproot things, he's trying to, you know, do things as a wise guy. Shalom Lishma means he has an ulterior motive. He wants to make money, they should give him a COVID. That's Tosfos here. That's a classic. Comes in a sieve with a different answer based on the choice of the verb. They sound the same, but they're different. The Gemara Pesachim says, "La'olam yasok adam b'torah of mitzvah fishul hashem b'torah hashem." Yasok means, we say, everyone who lasts with divrei Torah. You're working, you're toiling, you're busying yourself with the existent Torah mitzvahs. You'll say a chiddush here and a chiddush there. But fundamentally, it's the same Torah, it's the same Mishnah, it's the same Mishnah, it's the same Mishnah since Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's time. Same Gemara, it's Rabbi Yehuda Ravashi. Yeah, that's what we should do. We should involve ourselves in this kind of activity. Even Shalom Lishma, okay, you want to be able to make a seam and have hero sandwiches and whatever else is going on over here. Kolopshes, whatever, cookies. Even Shalom Lishma, Shalom Lishma, no problem. But, says the Nitziv, the Gemara in Brachos is a different word. The word is Oseh. Oseh, says the Nitziv, means to mechadish something new. New. Lulamo de lulame lishma velasos. Says the Nitziv, that's what you mean to do. That's before. It means to create something new. Hashabar lukim lasos, something new. Something new? Oh, the Shalom lishma. That's a major problem. It's a very major, major problem. And therefore, unfortunately, there are different, how should I say, winds blowing in the world around us. No point to me belaboring the point, you know what I'm talking about. Different winds are blowing. And some of these innovations came about, as was stated explicitly by some of the innovators, because of these kinds of ways of thinking, which are not the Torah's way of thinking. And maybe some of the innovations, not completely lishma, different reasons why they wanted to show a different kind of egalitarianism, which is not necessarily in consonance with the Torah's way of thinking. When you do something new, and it's not completely lishma, that's a problem. Our gedolim, when they did something new, it was always completely lishma. We just learned about Megillah, and Megillah is tied in very much to Nechad. We all know that this is true. In the Tanchuma, it says a person, in Parshas Nasa, a person shouldn't say, I'm not going to keep Nechadikah. It's not in the Torah. Don't say that, says the Tanchuma. You know why? Because Yaakov Avinu did something unusual. He went like this. He put a frame before Menashe. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu seconded the motion. When? Yom HaShvi, Nosu Dei Ephraim. Yom HaShmini, Nosu Dei Menashe. That's what the Tanchuma of that pasuk. What does this mean? You couldn't find anything else? Here's my answer. If you think that the Ovos HaKadoshim is something purely for some side reason, ulterior motive, no. It was completely L'Shem Shemayim. Why? The Yosef is Ephraim L'Shem Menashe. What's Ephraim? Ephraim is Torah. Ephraim was the one who was Rogel Esel Oven, Esel Yaakov Yim B'Talmud. And Menashe was worldly. Right? Menashe means he was the man of Spinoza. And that's why we put the right hand, the civic Spain, the right hand is on Ephraim, because Torah, the head, is the, we learn Torah. But Yadavka wanted Menashe on his right knee. He didn't move it over. Because in worldly matters, Menashe was. Go back, Rabosai, to the very beginning. Go back to the descendants of these two, as Rashi explains in Parshas Vayechi. One is Gido, descendant of Menashe. One is Yeshua, descendant of Ephraim. Gido was a man of the world, a warrior. Lech b'chochachoza v'oshatos Yisrael. New strategies. Gideon had the early day Davidka. You know what I'm talking about? He was completely outgunned, outmanned. What did he do? He took some lanterns and some chauffeurs and some pitchers. He made a sound and light show, and he ran away. And when they wrote it up in the newspapers, he tried the same strategy again and killed him. You can't fight the last war. You have to always have to be ahead of the game in matters of war. But Ephraim's descendant is Yeshua. Moshe kibo Torah b'sinei Mesorah Yeshua. Then Moshe kipnei Chama, then Yeshua kipnei Levana. Not just he's a lesser level. He's a reflection. As the moon reflects the sun, Yeshua reflects Moshe. Because in Torah, we try to get back to Sinai, just to reflect. You think about it for a minute, the very names evoke this. Menashe ki nashani Elohim es kalamot es kobezor. Forget what came before. Forget the old time politics and economics. New. Everything is new. Technology, everything is new in worldly matters. But Ephraim, what's the shorash of Ephraim? Ephraim, the pre, right? The apple that we eat is the same apple as Gan Eden. Go back. Ephraim of Menashe means that Yaakov Avinu understood full well that in worldly matters have to be new. But in heavenly matters, give me back the old time religion. Yes, there can be changes once in a while. Yaakov Avinu made a change once in a while. Ben Chaya made a change once in a while. And Sarashia made a change once in a while. And it can happen. But it's not change for the sake of change. It's not change for the sake of the spirit of the times, etc. This is the lesson of Chanukah, the lesson of Purim, the lesson of Chazal. We should all be zochet to follow through with these immortal words of Kimim Ashakim Lukfar, to accept the Torah as we understand it, that there are going to be innovations only with the blessings of the Gedolei HaTorah.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.